Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. Listen after the podcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
Bless you. You can be seated. So this morning we started teaching on the six stages of grief, and I just want to briefly mention those. The first stage is just shock. It's where you can't believe the news. You can't believe it's happened. You're just stunned. And if there's been a tragic death in your family, it can actually take up to a month just for you to even recover from the shock and to be able to wrap your head around the tragedy. Second stage is sorrow. This is where you begin to grieve your loss. And then the third stage you go into is struggle. This is when you start asking why. Why did this happen to me? Why now? And we ask the why questions. And most of us have been taught that why, asking God why, is wrong. But actually, if it is, then Jesus was wrong, because he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? So it's not wrong to ask why. It's just 9 times out of 10, you won't get the answer then that you are looking for, and you may never get the answer. Then we go from struggle to surrender, and this is where the metamorphosis, the change, begins to happen, because now we say, okay, I'm not going to fight this anymore. I'm tired. God, what do you want to do in my life? And this is where God begins to work in all of our lives to bring about more godliness, more of the fruit of the Spirit in each of our life. And then we go to sanctification. This sanctification process is really the process where God shows us how to become more like him. Once we surrender and say, okay, God, then we go into sanctification, and he begins to work. He begins to work good from the bad in our life. Does that make sense? Okay, and then from there we go into service, and that very thing that causes us the most pain is very embarrassing, kind of what we would rather forget and push aside. Then God says, that's your purpose, and that's part of who you are, and I want you to use that for ministry, because there's no one that can minister to someone like someone who's been through it. And so God doesn't want you to hide your pain and shame. He wants you to use your pain for others' gain. Does that make sense? So I'm going to get right into this next part. Now listen, if you happen to watch online and you were not available to listen this morning, you can get it on podcast, or you can get a CD if you would choose. But I'm going to go probably to the second part of that. And here's number one, and that is, loss is unavoidable, but grief is a choice. In other words, every one of us have losses. And if you haven't, it's just because you haven't lived long enough. But if you live long enough, you're going to have losses. Everyone is going to have losses. It's inevitable. But grief is a choice. You have to choose to grieve. Okay? Most people choose to stuff it. What do you mean by that? Most people choose to swallow their grief. They stuff their grief. They deny it. And they try to get through the losses of life without ever grieving. And brothers and sisters, that's a big mistake. Here's a quote I want to give you. And if you're writing notes, you may want to write this down. Here it is. There is no life without change. There is no change without loss. There is no loss without pain. But grief is a choice. You say, Brother Nealon, what does that mean? Let me explain it. All living things change. You're changing whether you want to or not. I lost my hair without giving it permission. I'm getting older without giving myself permission. Things are changing whether I want them to or not. Every living thing is changing. Whether it wants to or not, it's changing. So if you're alive, you're going through changes. You're going through external changes, and you're going through internal changes. Do you agree with that? See, so there's no change without loss. And you say, why, Pastor? Here's why. Because in change, you lose some of the old to grab onto some of the new. Okay, so even if I lose this job, I have to lose this and what I'm familiar with to grab a hold of this. Does it make sense? Okay, so this is what I'm referring to. When there is change, there is loss. And there is no loss without pain. Because we don't like to lose things. See, it's called loss aversion. And I'm not going to get into the technical side of this, but loss aversion means this, that we despise a loss more than we enjoy a gain. Here's what that means. You will go into a convenience store and spend $20 on a few little items and think nothing of it. But if you lose $20, you'll search for it for 3 hours. Because you don't enjoy the Gatorade and the chips and the honey bun and the snack that you bought for $20 nearly as much as you hate not being able to find the $20. It's called loss aversion. So we hate a loss more than we even enjoy a gain. So what you have to do is you have to allow yourself to grieve your losses. You've got to choose to open yourself up and to say, you know what, I'm going to take this time, whatever it takes, and I'm going to choose to grieve my loss in a healthy way. And you have to allow yourself to feel it. Now, I'm fixing to dive off into some dangerous territory, but you don't have to agree with me, and it's okay. But I do not recommend that people numb themselves through the losses of life. Eventually, you need to be able to feel that so you can work through it. Jesus didn't say, I've come that you can numb yourself. Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. I understand taking something, you know, to knock the edge off, but you just have to be careful, brothers and sisters. When you go through deep grief, the enemy is right there to get his foot in that door. And if you don't grieve in a healthy way, you're going to grieve in an unhealthy way. And that's where addictions start, is a lot of times because people don't know how to grieve in a healthy way. Does that make sense? Okay. People say, well, why in the world, Pastor, would I want to feel grief? Because grief is the key to spiritual growth. See, you're going to have a choice. The choice is not, am I going to suffer loss somewhere in my life? That's not the choice. It's going to happen. The choice is, how do I choose to grieve? In a healthy way or in an unhealthy way? It makes sense? So then you have to, since it's going to happen, you might as well let it in and embrace it. See, when I mention grief, most people think about a funeral like we had yesterday. They think something that happens at funerals, something that happens when you lose a loved one. But really, we have many losses in our life. Okay? The loss of your health, the loss of a job, the loss of a dear friend. Okay? You can lose your finances. Even if, you know, you might be a very beautiful person and have a car accident and you lose some of that beauty. I mean, whatever it may be. Y'all, as crazy as this sounds, I've struggled turning 50. Now, you can laugh at me and that's fine. I can't laugh with you right now, but I'll probably laugh later. But yeah, for those of you that are 80, you still look at me as a young buck, and I am a young buck. But I can tell you, my energy at 52 is not what it was at 22. Not that I'm an old man. That's not what I'm saying. But I can tell a difference in my 50s versus my 20s. And nobody asked permission for that to happen. But if you're a living person, you are changing. Now, I've had a struggle. I'm going to just tell you, I'm a very transparent person on most things. I've struggled with my hair loss, and you don't probably think it's a big deal, but I have been a very vain person most of my life. My mama's told me, Wayne, you're so vain. And I told her, I know it, Mama, just pray for me. You know, for some it may not bother them, but I mean, I look at Dave and I'm just jealous of all that hair. You know, I'm like, I want to punch him. I mean, like almost every time I just want to punch him. Do you understand? Somebody said me too. Thank you for that. Thank you. I'm not alone. I can guarantee if I ask Brother Kellogg, he might want to punch him too. Nobody asked our permission, right? But we're changing. And so this may seem very small, but it's a loss. And you have to learn to grieve those things. I'm just so glad you ladies don't look at things like men do, because Janet loves me no matter what. And I'm just so thankful, because if Janet went bald, I may struggle with that. Just be honest. See, because grief is unpleasant, most people just try to avoid it. Most people just say, here's what they say. I'm not going to grieve. I'm just going to get on with my life. And then they deny it. And listen, brothers and sisters, that's the cause of many people's problems, is unresolved grief and unresolved regrets. If we don't grieve, and this is very important, and I may not get past this point. If we don't grieve our losses, it's very easy to get stuck in that place. Okay, I'm going to explain this. I've seen people in their 60s, but they're really stuck at age 41 because that's when they went through a very ugly divorce. And all you got to do is talk to them for about 15 minutes and they're going to go back to 41 when they felt like they were done so wrong and they're a victim of what happened and they have never gotten over the grief of that divorce. And they've lived to be 60 and they're still living, but what they're really doing is existing. And they're bitter. And they're going to take you back there. Because they've never resolved it. Because what they did was, I just want to push this out. I don't want to have to deal with this. This hurts too much. And so they never resolved the grief in a healthy way. And they're 60, but they're still living back at when they were 41 and they were done wrong. So here's the second thing that I want to communicate to you. The second thing is this: grief is healthy. We all, brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter how good they look. They can look like Ken and Barbie. Let them live long enough, they're going to have losses. Not that I'm happy about it. That's just life. You're going to have losses. And if we don't grieve those losses, that's when we get stuck. And then people wonder why. Why do I have anxieties? And why do I have phobias? And why do I have fears? And why am I even dealing with very low self-esteem? Because they haven't learned to do good grief. Would you agree that Jesus never did anything wrong? Would you agree that Jesus never sinned? Would you agree that he never did evil? Would you agree that he never did anything unhealthy? And yet Jesus grieved. The Bible tells us that Jesus wept. The Bible also tells us that he was a man acquainted with sorrows. When Jesus' dear friend Lazarus died, the Bible says Jesus grieved and Jesus actually cried. That's what it says in John 11. Come up on the screen, John 11 and 33. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Now, verse 36, Jesus wept. Now, in verse 37, then the Jews said, see how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind have also kept this man from dying? Now, y'all think about this. Jesus allowed Lazarus to die. He allowed him to die. And people were saying, man, can't this guy who opened the eyes of the blind, couldn't he heal this man and raise him from the dead? He did, but the truth of the matter is Lazarus died again and he didn't come back the second time. I hope you can handle this. But I've heard people say, Well, it must have been God's will for them to go. I've heard people say, well, God needed your baby more than you did. I've heard people say, well, God was looking for another rose in his garden. Brothers and sisters, God's not looking for another rose in his garden. And God don't need me. And he didn't need your loved one to come to heaven for him to be complete. God is complete within himself. You do not have to agree with what I'm saying. All I'm asking you to do is think about it. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. In the Garden of Eden, there was not death, and in heaven, there's not going to be death. So why is death here? Death is here because of sin and evil. You said, well, he must have not have, you know, it must have been God's will or he wouldn't have died. That's not true. God wants us to live, and he wants us to live the abundant life. Now, so what is it then, Pastor? I believe it's the result of sin and evil. It's the result of accidents. When we get to heaven, there's not going to be sin. There's not going to be evil. There's not going to be accidents. But brothers and sisters, I want to just come alongside this argument that it must have been God's will. Do you understand that God's will doesn't happen every day? Every day people are dying and are not saved. That's not God's will. John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whomsoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And yet people are dying every day without him. That's not his will. It's not his will that little girls and little boys are abused, but as ugly as that is, it's happening. And God don't step in and stop it. Because if God's going to stop sin, brothers and sisters, then he's got to take all of us off the face of the earth. Because that's the result of it. Do I believe, and again, I'm not asking you to agree with me. Do I believe that this death that we've just experienced is the will of God? No, I don't. But the will of God doesn't happen every day. Does he know about it? Sure. Was he shocked? No. Was he surprised? Absolutely not. Will he take something that is bad and turn it around in time and bring good from it? Yes, we have that promise based out of Romans 8 and 28. And I know that we say things to try to help people because we really don't know what to say. But do you understand that when Job lost everything, he had three friends that came and they said nothing for 7 days? That's in your Bible. Sometimes the very best thing, here's another thing that we do. We come up to someone that lost a child and we said, well, we lost a grandfather. We know how you feel. No, you don't. A grandfather and a child are two different people. Losing someone at 39 versus 86 is very different. I know we mean well. But if you haven't walked that path, you don't know how that person feels. And for you to come up and compare a grandfather to a lost child, that's apples and oranges. You say, what do I say, Pastor? You know what? Sometimes the best thing you can say is, I don't know what you're going through, but I love you and I'm praying for you and I'm going to come over next week and I'm going to have you a meal, so don't worry, because Thursday I'm going to show up with chicken and dumplings and iced tea. I'm going to have Janet make that, by the way. Okay? Are you with me? And then the next Thursday I'm going to come over and mow your yard. But see, here's what we guys, especially we guys, we're horrible at this because guys are innate fixers. We're innate fixers. In other words, we build things. We build buildings. We build roads. We build bulldozers. We fix things. We build things. And then when it comes to something we can't fix, what we're really good at is then we hide. Hello. Because if we don't think that we can fix it, then we feel inferior. Well, I can't fix this, so I'm going to just back out of it. I don't know if Jay's watching. If you are, I've already told him this. But I said, Jay, listen, you can't fix this. All you can do now is come alongside Lisa and Peyton and your family and love them. And when they weep, weep. Don't pat them and say it's going to be okay. It's not going to be okay. It's going to take time to grieve. You don't get over this in 2 days and all of a sudden you're all good. Not going to happen. Do you understand that when Moses died, the Bible says that the children of Israel mourned his death for 30 days? That's all they did, is they took time, they stopped, they camped out, and for the next 30 days, they mourned his death. And we try to get back in 48 hours, and we stuff it. And when we stuff it, doctors say, brothers and sisters, doctors, medical doctors say that they could empty out probably at least a fourth to a half of the beds in hospitals if people would just learn how to grieve properly. But they're in there because it's coming out in all kinds of physical ways because they don't know how to do it. They don't know how to grieve. They don't know the healthy way. And it's going to come out. And so it starts coming out in all kinds of physical ailments. Disorders, phobias, fears. Have I just made sense? Okay. Now, I don't want that for us. I don't want that for us. I want us to be able to grieve in a healthy way. Here's what the Bible says in Ecclesiastes. There is a time for everything under the sun. There was a time when the prodigal son came home. Guess what? There was a time to party. And that's what they did. They had dancing. They killed the fatted calf. Right now, it's not time to party. There's also a time to mourn. There's a season for mourning. There's a season for dancing. There's a season for mourning. So we're going to mourn this. And we're going to grieve in a healthy way. Here's the next thing. You do not heal by yourself. Okay? Now, what we want to do is our human nature is we want to steal away. We want to close the blinds, close the shutters, turn off the phone, and then that's where depression starts setting in. Okay? Look at your neighbor and tell them this seriously. I need you. Tell them, I need you. Why do you need them? Because you need community to heal because you cannot heal by yourself. Okay? So I'm just wanting to help all of us. When this family comes back, don't ask them how they're doing. I can answer that. They're grieving. They're hurt. They're broken. They're crushed. Their life is forever changed. That's the answer. So we don't ask them how they're doing. We just love them. I love you. And you're going to make it through this. Not today, not tomorrow. But you're going to make it through this. The sun is going to shine again. God is with us. You encourage them. But that's what community is about. Does it make sense? That's why we need the body of Christ. Lisa looked at me and Janet yesterday. She said, Pastor, now I get it. I totally get what you've been saying. Why? We need everybody using their gifts. She said, it floors me. It amazes me. She said, when this one would come, they would do this and they would say this and it was the right thing. Then this one would come and they would say this and they would do this and it was the right thing. And then this one would do this and this one would do that. She said, I have it now, Pastor, understand. I'm going to tell you something. I don't know how people make it without the body of Christ. I don't. I'm surprised, and this sounds horrible, but I'm surprised there's not more suicides. See, because when people go through this kind of stuff, if they don't know the Lord, it's not working for their good. The enemy will use it to absolutely destroy them. But for the child of God, he works it for their good. Has that made sense? Okay. That's sweet. I'll cover a few more things and then we'll go. There's an American myth that says sadness is weakness. Weakness and sorrow are not the same thing. In fact, the stronger that you are, the more confident you are, and the more you're not afraid to show your emotions. Y'all hear me, please. Very insecure people are very guarded because they're afraid to show emotion. The more strong you are, the more confident you are, the more you understand that when I am in sadness, that is not weakness. That is me processing grief in a healthy way. Okay, I'm going to give you all a little story. I was 34 years old when my mother passed away, and I'm a grown man with a precious wife and children. I shall never forget it as long as I live. So there was probably 700 people that had passed through that particular night, and I'm standing and greeting people, and people are comforting me. And my closest friend, Jim Manning, I remember he walks down the aisle, and when I see him about middle ways, I run to greet him, and I let out the biggest groan that I have ever let out in my life. It was deep. And I didn't even realize it then, but I was actually grieving in a healthy way. And please don't throw any stones at me, but I found a song by Boys to Men, and the song is Mama. I'd love to sing it for you, but then you'd all run out. But I listened to that song over and over, and I'm just trying to help you. When I was going down the road, I'd put on that song, Mama, and I'd just cry. And I cry. Because here's what I found out. Every tear is healing. Okay? Every tear is healing. And here it is, if you take it in a physical way. If you cut your arm really bad, right? And then you go, and it's, let's say you had a motorcycle accident. God forbid. But it's got gravel and it's got all kinds of junk in it, right? And so they take you to the ER and the doctor looks at it and says, oh, it's going to hurt really bad if I clean it out. So I'm going to just leave that because it's really going to hurt. Well, if he's stupid. Okay? Because the fact of the matter is, if that stays in there, your arm is going to get gangrene and you're going to lose your arm. It hurts to heal, but you better get all of that out. Right? That's the physical part of it. You better get it out. And this is why people are getting gangrene emotionally. Because they're saying, well, this hurts. And so they just stuff their head in the sand and they don't want to admit I had a loss in my life. A pity party is different than grieving in a healthy way. Two totally different things. You should allow God to go inside your heart and let him begin to clean out the anger. Get honest with God. There are over 40 different laments in the psalm alone. It's when a David comes to God and it's like, God, you're killing me. And God, I don't understand. And God, I'm angry. And God, I'm so mad. And we've been taught God can't handle that. Baby, he can handle it. You need to be able to get it out. Because if you don't get it out, it's going to come out sideways in you. Did that make sense? Okay. So you got to get it cleaned out. So it hurts to heal. It hurts to heal. So here's going back to my story. So I would listen to these Boys to Men sing Mama. And I would cry and I would cry. And just a year ago, I told Molly, I said, Molly, we were driving out to the house. I said, Mama, Molly, I'm really missing my mama. And I put that song on. And a year ago, me and Molly looked out the window and we're both crying. But it's okay because I'm grieving in a healthy way. See, brothers and sisters, you don't get over grief. You get through it. I'm going to never get over it. I'm going to get through it. And that's why I need you and you need me, and together we can heal and process this in a healthy way. But let me ask you a question. Think about your griefs. Think about the abuse. Think about the loss. Think about the divorce. I'm not saying have a pity party, but one of the number one ways now that you can start helping yourself is list your losses, those true losses. List them and ask yourself this question. Have I truly grieved this loss? If you haven't, then go back and ask the Lord to help you to truly process it. Because again, remember, you're leaving the gravel in the womb. Now, end with this. Here's the thing, okay? Once the gravel is out of the womb, it's bandaged up, it starts healing, correct? But guess what? In 6 weeks, if you grab that dude's arm like this, you may get this. Why? Because it's still tender. It's very tender still. Now, do that 2 years, And as long as it's healed up, you can grab him like that and you probably won't get this. Why? Because time doesn't heal all wounds, but time helps to heal. I'm about finished, but you say, oh, time heals all wounds. Well, if that's true, just go sit in the doctor's office long enough and you'll get healed. Just stay there. How long have you been here? 5 hours. You healed? Nope. Then five more. I know we mean well and we say stuff, but we don't really think sometimes about what we're saying. Time doesn't heal. Time helps to heal. There are people that are still hurting over something that happened to them 30 and 3 years ago, right? Because they never grieved it in a healthy way. And if you touch that, you're going to probably get something as a repercussion. Now, as you begin to heal in time, then now things are better. Okay? So time helps, but you can't put people in a block and say, okay, in 30 days, you should be here at stage two. And now in 28 days, you ought to be at stage three. It's different for everyone. So it's not about the time. It's about going through every stage of grief and allowing that stage to work that part of healing in you. Okay? Have I made sense? All right. So I need to stop there. Got more to say, but I need to stop there. Let's stand together. So let me end with this. There's actually two unhealthy reactions to loss. One is called repression, and the other is called suppression. Now, repression is when I consciously try to block out painful thoughts out of my mind. I consciously do it. That's repression. Suppression is when I do it consciously, and I intentionally say, I'm not going to think about that. So repression is unconscious. Suppression is constantly, I'm just not going to think about that. I'm just going to put my head down and I'm just going to go forward. I want to tell you something, friend, that's a huge mistake. To not grieve a loss is a mistake. Because when I swallow it, when my body swallows it, then I reject it. Okay? And it's going to come out. Now, here's the good news in all of this, and I'll end. Where is God in all of this? I can tell you, God is right there beside you, grieving with you. Because his word says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. So he's with you. He's with you. And he's going to be with you through the grief. But what you have to do is you take it to the cross. See, we've taught, here's what we've taught. We've taught that you come to this altar and you pray, and guess what? It's all good. Here's what I found out. I had to come to the Lord for 10 years over one thing in my life. 10 years? Yep. Mm-hmm. 10 years until I could get to a place that I could grab it like that and I wouldn't react. Say, Pastor, how do you know when you're healed? When you no longer have to tell your side of the story. Mm-hmm. When you've gone through a brutal divorce and then somebody asks you and you start talking about it, it's not out of anger. Your BP don't go up. You can look at people and say, now look, I'm willing to help you with my pain, but I'm good. I don't have to tell you my side. Then you know you have healing. Because how many of you have ever encountered someone and you barely sit down at the table and they're, they're so angry. They're so angry. Yeah. That makes sense. Father, I thank you. I feel your presence. And Lord, we think that we want an explanation, but what we really need is the presence of God. For in your presence there is fullness of joy. And Lord, as the under shepherd of this great church, I bring this precious congregation to you tonight. And as we walk this out, help us to do it in a healthy way. And for those that are dealing with issues, pain from yesterday, I pray that they would take your word and use it to become healthy. In Jesus' name. Y'all, I've got to tell y'all this story, and I've been given permission to tell you. In case you don't know, Karen's daughter, her name is Lauren. Ronnie and Karen, their daughter, Lauren, was married to Steve Bertram. Here probably about a month ago, an 18-wheeler come across Interstate 10 and hit him head on and killed him. And she was in one of those very low moments, and I have permission to tell this story, and she was just walking, and she said, God, I know Steve's okay. I know he is. But I'm just low. And I just need you to affirm to me again that he's okay. And her brother-in-law had a dream. And Steve came to him in the dream. And he said absolutely nothing to him, but his face was fine and he had absolutely no scars. And Karen told me in the wreck he was all scarred up. But I told you this morning that in heaven, no one has scars. The only person having scars will be Jesus. And then she received this word from her brother-in-law. He said, Lauren, I just got to call you and tell you I had a dream. And Steve come to me in the dream. He didn't say nothing, but his face was beautiful and he had no scars on his body. That was just the Lord letting her know. Steve's all right. And I'm with you. And we're going to walk this out together. God is faithful, brothers and sisters. And he's even faithful in those little things to let you know I'm still with you. Would you just take somebody now and let's do community here. Let's do community here. Take somebody.
We pray that today's message has blessed you. For more about TPC DeQuincy, go to our website, tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in DeQuincy. TPC, loving God and loving people.